So this week's Pasha, we learned the first Lotasa in Titus Moshe, and that is the Lotasa of Gid Hanoshe. So the Torah tells the story of the struggle between Yankev and the angel. Yankev and the angel who, according to the Messiah of Chazal, was Soroi Shel Esav. We do not know exactly how to define Soroi Shel Esav, but he was the angel in heaven who represented Esav, and that was a struggle. Shegia ad lekisei hakavod veyar ki lo yocholoi vayigeh bechaf yerechoi v'teke chaf yerech Yankev v'heof koi imoi. And then the Torah says, al kein lo yochlu b'nei esol es gidanosha shal kaf yorech ad ayoyim hazeh ki noga bechaf yerech Yankev begid hanoshe. Towards the end of this year, we will discuss the symbolic significance. What is Gid Hanoshe about? And why is it important that we don't eat the Gid Hanoshe? And the Torah emphasizes, Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. All mitzvahs are relevant Ad Hayoyim Hazeh, but this seems to have some special emphasis and significance. Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es Gid Hanoshe asher kafe yorech Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. But first of all, Gid Hanoshe is unique. Many lotasa are associated with macholas asuros, but Gid Hanoshe, in a way, is an exception, because we find in the Gemara in Churin Tzadik Tes, Churin Daf Kuf, Churin Daf Tzadik Beis, Divrei Tanoim va'Ameroim, Ein Begidin Benois in Tam. So Gid really doesn't have a taste; it doesn't have a flavor. And the lesson of the Gemara Churin Daf Tzadik Beis is Eitzu Elo Shehatoyra Os Nesoi. It's like wood, but the Torah Aser Gid Hanoshe. So this seems to be a chiddush, because in Psachim Daf Chav Dalad Amid Beis we learn a machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokesh. And whenever in Shas we find a machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokesh, Halacha Kereb Yochanan, and there are only three different sugis. Halacha Kereb Shlokesh. And Rabbi Yochanan maintains, Kol Asurim Shebetoyra, Ein Odom Loika Aleihem Elo Kederech Achiloson. So if a person eats any of the Mechoras Asurais, Shelo Kederech Achile, that is not considered a transgression. How do we define Shelo Kederech Achile? The Rambam Perek Yud Aled, Halacha Yud Aleph, Afilchas Mechoras Asurais, the Rambam writes, any macholas asuris that you eat shelo kederech achila, that is not considered a violation. And the Rambam gives three examples of shelo kederech achila. Him ches achayla v'gamo'oi, ashet hei groinoi nechveis heimeno. The food was so hot, it was boiling hot, till you burn your throat. That would be fine shelo kederech achila. Irev bo dovor mar, if you mixed a very bitter foodstuff, anything into the food, and he doesn't really enjoy the food because it's bitter, that would be example number two. Ochel chelev chai, if he eats raw meat. Are there other foods that are not fitting for consumption when they're raw, if they're not cooked or roasted or whatever, that would also be considered shelo kederech achila. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Dalet Macholas Asuras gives three examples, but the basic definition we find in Hilchos Yisoy Da'atoyra. Perek Hei Alocha Ches of Hilchos Yisoy Da'atoyra, the Rambam writes, Kol She'ein Achech Nehena Mimeno is defined as Shelo Kederech Achila. If you don't enjoy your food, if you don't derive pleasure from your food, then that would be considered Shelo Kederech Achila. So if Ein Begidin Benois and Tam, obviously that should be defined as Shelo Kederech Achila. So how could a person be over on the love of Gid Hanoshe? And this is an especially troubling question, because in that very same sugya, in Psochim Daf Chof Dalad, we learn that by Bosar HaCholav L'Moshel, a person is over even Shelo Kederech Achila. Kil'ei HaKerem, a person is over even Shelo Kederech Achila. What's the rule? Which ones are also Shelo Kederech Achila, and which ones are not also Eilum Ken Ochal Kederech Achila? So the Gemara gives a basic rule. Wherever we find a Loshon Achila Shebetoyra, a person is not over elo imken ochal kederech achile. But where the iser is not based on the lashon achile, but on other lashonis, then we're over even if it's not kederech achile. So basa b'cholov, we do not find lo yoichlu, lo yoichal. The Torah says three times lo shavash gedi b'chalei v'emoy. Why three times? Echad es achila, echad es anoa, echad es abishul. So because the posuk doesn't formulate the iser b'loshan achila, osar afilu shelo kederach achila. Same kilei akerem. In kilei akerem, the posuk says pen tigdash. Tigdash, interpreted by Chazal, tukad eish. You need to destroy it. You need to burn it. That proves that it's also b'chil v'osa b'anor. But because the Torah says, lo, it doesn't say lo yoichal, it's also official okadar chachila. So coming back to Gidenosha, al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael is Gidenosha. This is loshan achila. Loshan achila clearly indicates there would be no Yisrael el kader chachila. But if it has no taste, ein begidin b'nois and tam, how would that be defined in derech achila? So we could suggest four different approaches. Approach number one is an interesting one. Two of Choshev Achroinim, Yoredei Simekuf, Chavis Das, first and foremost. The Nesivis, Amishpot is the Chavis Das. Chavis Das and the Mati Yoinesen, two Achroinim, in Yoredei Elchastaroi Vesimekuf, both make the same argument. How is it possible that for hundreds of years we didn't decide yesh begidin b'noisintam or ein begidin b'noisintam? Why don't we check? Why don't we check? So someone asks, how would you check? If it's an issa, how could you check? Well, when we have a teroidus, miyatisu berav heta, the Gemara and Chulin makes it clear, you take a non-Jew. He has no manas. You take a chef and he tastes. And he testifies, he will let us know. Do we feel a tamisa or we don't feel a tamisa? And we rely on him. If he says the tamisa is not really discernible, there is no tamisa, then the food is permitted. We go ahead and we eat it. So we rely on a kfela, a non-Jewish chef. So why? How is it that we didn't decide for thousands of years whether yes begit manos tam or ein begit manos tam? So the Mati Yonison and the Chavis Das both make the same argument, and they say there definitely is some tam. It does have a taste. It's not totally without taste. But the Machloikas is it's a tam kolush. Does a tam kolush asa terevis or not? That's the Machloikas. In Minchas Osher, Shalas Achuvis, I think... I don't even recall whether it's Chalik Tel or Chalik Beis. There are two Simonim dealing with the concept of Tam Kosh. And I bought about five different sources in Gemara, the Rishonim, and in Yoredei, where we find the concept of a Tam Kosh. A Tam Kosh which the Poskim deal is it defined as a Tam. So that is the interpretation of the Matis Yonison and the Chavis Das. And actually, they weren't aware about it. We find that Svora in the Rashba, in the Chulin, Daf Tzadik Beis. So, I think, as long as there's a Tam Kolish, it is not Shelo Kederech Achila. There is some taste, there is some pleasure to be derived. So, it is no longer defined Shelo Kederech Achila. However, there's still... Is the machlokes in the Gemara whether it asks taroivis or it does not? Well, the only problem with this pshat would be the lashon of the Gemara eitzu elo shatora asasai, which seems to indicate it's like wood. I don't think it's a tremendous argument. One could always argue eitzu means it doesn't have a proper taste. It's almost without a taste. But we do find the svora in the Rashba. So the one that says Eitzu, but Torah also says Ule. Efshe she'ein halacha kemoisoi. The Rambam does pasken ein begidin benoisin tam. So I want to make an interesting comment. This formulation, this lotion, ein begidin benoisin tam. Chazal don't say ein begidden tam, ein begidden benoisen tam, because the context is if you cooked gidanosha together with other meat, meat that is permissible, with the miut aser the roiv. So the Gemara says ein begidden benoisen tam, and it's very logical to say it has a tam kolosh. When you eat the gid into itself, you feel somewhat of a taste. But the taste is so weak, so insignificant, that when you cook it together with another dish, with other foodstuffs, it is not benoisen tam. But this would solve the problem. It's not shelo kederech achila, but it does have somewhat of a tam. So that is in accordance to the interpretation of Mati Yonason, Chavis Das, and more important than the Achronim, we already find that story in the Rashbet Sadik base. How does it go with the Gemara? This Gemara doesn't speak about the Teroivis. This Gemara speaks specifically about the Gid itself. Eitzu Elusha Teira Asasai. That's Ula, Efshe She'ein Halochika Ula. Or maybe it is somewhat of an extreme, of an exaggeration. It's not mamish eitz, but similar to eitz. It's a chiddush that the Torah asers a tam kolosh, but it is no longer defined as shelo kederech achil. And the truth is, for quite a while, I had the feeling that if something has no taste whatsoever, it is still not defined as shelo kederech achila. And I had a feeling shelo kederech achila is only if you really suffer by eating it. It's not only that you don't enjoy, you are pained, it causes you distress. Maybe only then would it be defined as shelo kederech achila. And my feeling was based on all three examples that the Rambam gives. It burns your throat. So if something really burns your throat, you suffer. It's not only that you don't enjoy. It's painful if something burns your throat. Example number two, Irev by Dov or Mar. It has an awful taste. It's bitter. So it, not only that it lacks any taste, it has a bad taste. Ochel chelev chai. I never tried it. But I assume when you try to chew and swallow raw meat, it's not only like water. It's not only that it doesn't have a taste, probably is not agreeable to your palate. Is that the right word? Yeah? So my feeling was that to get into the criteria, category of shelo kederech achila, it needs to be distressful, it needs to be disturbing. So even if we say eitzu v'teira asesoi, maybe it still is not shelo kederech achila. Till I realized the lesson of the Rambam and Perekei Alochaches of Yisoy Da Torah, kol she'einai orev lechech is shelo kederech achila. So that Rambam seems to make it clear. No, even if it doesn't cause distress or disturbance or pain or suffering, if it's not orev lechech and you don't enjoy the food at all, it has no taste whatsoever, neither good nor bad, just neutral, no taste, it still would be defined as shelo kederech achila. According to the Rambam's definition, kol she'einai orev lechech would be defined as shelo kederech achila.
What if you put sugar on it?
What?
The converse of mar, if you put sugar on it.
That's an interesting argument, and we will get to it. And if I forget, please remind me. So approach number one would be based on those Achroinim and the Rashba. Even though Chazal say, ein begidden benoisen tam, that means the tam isn't sufficient to be noisen tam in other foods that were cooked together with the gid, but there still is somewhat of a taste, and that's why it would not be defined as shelo kederech achila. In reality, we have this same problem, this same question in three other sugyos and shas, because we have three other examples when the Torah asks something be'achila and something that definitely isn't agreeable, isn't tasteful, and it has either a bad taste or no taste whatsoever. So the Torah in Pesach asks achilas chometz and se'oyer. What is se'oyer in English?
Yeah.
Yeast, Sayat is some form of yeast. It is something that is used to be machmitz, and sometimes I don't have the right definitions in English. But the Gemara says clearly in Beit Zedav Zayinu Beis that Sa'ir is not roi bachile. It actually usually isn't consumed in itself. You don't just eat Sa'ir. It is used in the process of developing bread and dough. But nevertheless, it's also bachile. So if a person eats Sa'ir bifnei asmoi, one could argue shelo kederech achile. When the Torah asks us Sa'ir, Torah asks us using Sa'ir. But when you use Sa'ir, you produce chometz. So what would be the difference between Sa'ir and chometz? So obviously, if you eat Sa'ir bifnei asmoi, you are over on the lav. And that would be based on the Gemara and Beit Zayin, and based that Sa'ir is not ra'ui ba'achile. Source number two is Psochem Mem Gimel. Chometz noiksho. Chometz noiksho is hard bread, that it's totally dry. That would be defined as chometz noiksho. Obviously, when bread becomes hard, it loses its taste entirely. It's not toast. It's just bread that was hardened by time, and that is chometz noiksho. And there's a mandoma in Psochem Daf Mem Gimel Mem Dalet. Chometz noiksho is balav. And the same question should be asked. It is lecha'ira shelo kederech achile. And source number three, zvochim mem vava mitbeis, and that's a dinei kodshim. Eitzim ulevayno chibas hakodesh machshoroson v'ho oichlan oiva balav. Obviously, eitzim v'levayno. Levayno is incense, some type of a besamim, but it's not fitting for consumption. It is not to be eaten. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that it's a lav, and the same question arises regarding these three. So it's very unreasonable to say legabe sa'or and legabe eitzim v'levayno that it has a taste, only it's a tam kolosh. No. That might be correct when we're dealing with gedanosha, because gedanosha, after all, is meat. It's part of an animal's flesh. Chometz noiksho maybe, but definitely not sa'or and not eitzim v'levayno. So approach number two would be, these are exceptions. All the other macholos asura shebetoira ein odam oiver aleim elu emken ochlan shaloi kederech achilosem. But obviously, if the Torah asks us sa'oyer, the Torah asks us gidanosha, eitzhu, v'toira asesoi, the Torah asks us eitzim v'levoina, these are exceptions. So just like we're oiver on bosa b'cholov, and in kilei akerem shalo kederech achilosem, the same would apply to Chometz Noiksho, Sa'oya, Gidanosha. We must assume these are exceptions, because if the Gidanosha has no taste whatsoever, and if we learn the Gemara in its simplest interpretation, Eitzu v'Toyra Asasai, then we should assume that this is an exception. And he's over, even Shalokadeh Chachil. So the Prima Godem makes a very interesting argument. I think it's not reasonable, but Prima Godem argues, Gidanosha has no taste whatsoever. And basically, it would be defined as Shaloka Derech Achila, but it's Exeis HaKosef, Chayiv. So what happens when you take Gidanosha, Ve'irav Boi Dovar Mar, and he eats it together with the Dovar Mar, would it be Chayiv or Potom? So the Prima Godem argues it's Exeis HaKosef that is Chayiv, even though it has no taste. But that is only if you eat it as is. But if there is an additional reason why it's Shelo Kederech Achila, it is also Irav by Dov Amar, or you cook the Gidanosha and it's boiling and it burns your throat, would it be Chayiv? Because Exeis HaKosef Shechayiv Afilu Shelo Kederech Achila. Or would we say, one shaloka derech achila chayiv, two shaloka derech achila spoken. So the Prima Godem has it sad, and he says, if you cook a gidanosha till it burns your throat, or irav by dovar mar be gidanosha, it would be potter. Because in that case, in those circumstances, we no longer have exeis hakosov. But I think common sense would dictate, but if he's chayiv afal pishes a shaloka derech achila, why would there be a difference? How much shelo kederech achila, or why shelo kederech achila, or one, or two, or three kederech shelo kederech achila. After all, the gzeres akosav is chayev af al pi sheze shalom kederach achila. And that would be approach number two. Maybe this is a gzeres akosav. And gzeres akosav chayev af al pi sheze shalom kederach achila. Approach number three. I forgot your name. So Reb Shmuel suggested, well, maybe you take that gilinosha and you put sugar on it. Sugar, spice, everything nice, whatever you can. You put on that gilinosha, cook it, boil it, roast it, toast it, and make something out of it. After all, in the food industry, there is so much junk in there. But somehow, we make it appealing. So maybe there really is no chiyuv if a person eats gidanosha kimoy shehu. Maybe you're not chayev eluam ken tiknoi bitavlinim ad shiyehe ra'ui la'achila. Because otherwise it's shaloka de'achila and you would not be chayev. And I think this is quite a compelling argument. Maybe the chiddush of Gidenosha is, and the Gemara says chiddush, there are two different halachas. One halacha is shelo kederach achila, and that is the biyochin of Rosh Chodesh from Sochem Chof Dalet. But there's another sugya in Avodah Zorah Dav Samaches. Regarding Issa Nevela, the Pasuk says, Leger asher b'shorecho titnenoi v'ochel o mechoyer l'nochri. And the Gemara Darshan is in Avodah Zorah Dav Samaches. Leger asher b'shorecho titnenoi v'ochel. Nevela haru'uye leger shmo nevela. Nevela she'ene ru'uye leger lav shmo nevela. That means if meat was spoiled, it was rotten, it's no longer fitting for consumption. The food is spoiled. It is no longer defined as mecholas asuras, and there's no lav. So the lashon of the Gemara says, "Nevela she'ein ri'uye leger lav shmo nevela." And the Chavis Das makes an interesting comment. I think it's very logical, poshut kidvarov. But Chavis Das says it, and he's one of the greatest halachic authorities amongst the Achronim. He says there is a very fundamental difference between the din of shelo kederach achila and the din of nevela she'ein ri'uye leger. Shelo kederach achila is a ptur in the gavra. It's not defined as achila. But if the food is spoiled, it's not a din in the gavra. It's not a din of the maisa achila. Chazal speak very clearly. Nevela she'ene ru'uye leger lav shmo nevela. It's not that it's not achila. It's not nevela. So when we're dealing with shelo kederach achila, you're eating raw meat. You're eating hot food, which is boiling hot. But the food basically is fitting for consumption. Cook it. Don't eat it raw. Wait till it cools off. Even irav by dovar mar, try to separate it. And even if you can separate it, so you spoil the food by mixing something in. But the machal also likesha atzmoi is fitting for consumption. So these are two different halachas, the Chavis Das explains. Shelo kederach achila is a ptur because the achila is not defined and considered achila. But the cheftza is a cheftza de isura. Nevela she'ene ru'uya leger is not a cheftza de isura because this is not fitting for consumption. And avela she'ene ru'uya leger, the lashon of Chazal is lav shmo nevela. May nafka mina. If the food is spoiled and you make it agreeable for consumption, well, Amin asked one of the great Tanoim, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to put Adam Marishan asleep when he made Chava? So he responded, well, if Adam Marishan would see, you know, how this surgery is performed, then she wouldn't be very appealing to him. So if you would be in the factory when they take this piece of junk and they make salami out of it, wouldn't be very appealing. But you're not there, so you don't see it. You just see the finished product. So the Chavasdar says, Nevele she'ein erubi ger, aval tiknoi bitavline, mat she'eroi l'achile, zmuter ba'achile, einoi choize le'isuroi. Because the cheftza was no longer a cheftza de yisura. So the fact that you put in spices and sugar and salt and artificial taste and artificial coloring doesn't bring it back to its original and previous form. So poka isure, and it doesn't come back to isa. Batirav b'idov amar, and it's shaloka derech achila, chozor ve'irav b'idov amasoik, and it's once more ra'ui l'achila, then it's choyzel isure. Because the ptur of shaloka derech achila is in the maisa achila, it's not in the cheftza. The cheftza is a cheftza de isur, and that would be the difference. So my argument is this. Listen. Gid Anosha Eitzu V'Toyrasa Soy. So the Chiddush of Gid Anosha is in the Cheftza. This shouldn't be a Cheftza the Yisura, because it has no taste whatsoever. And therefore, it's not defined as a Machal. If it's not a Machal, then it can be Macholas Asurais. So the Chiddush is, even though it has no taste, it's also Ba'achila. But who says the Torah is Machayev Shelo Kederach Achila? The Chiddush is that it's a Cheftza de Yisura. But when the Torah says Alken LaYochlu B'nei Yisur as Gid Anosha, especially the Torah uses the Loshon Achila, so probably the Torah is dealing with Achila Kederach Achila. So if you cook Gid Anosha, and maybe you cook it together with different foods, and it becomes bearable, it becomes edible, then it is no longer defined as Shaloka Derech Achila. So what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is the Chlal in the Cheftza, that it's a Cheftza de Yisura. It's like a piece of wood. The Torah doesn't ask a wood. You know, there's an issue of Orla, first 3 years. But the wood isn't Orla, the fruit is Orla. So the Chiddush of Gid Anosha is Eitzu, but Torah Aslasoi. But there is no necessity to say that the Chiddush is also in Derech Achila. So maybe there really is no Isra of Gid Anosha, only im tiknoi betavlinim ad shiyehei ra'ui l'achila va'ochaloi k'derech achilos. So the only source I found for this argument is Chazer Nishoy L'chaim Simen Kuv Chov Dalet. Simen Kuv Chov Dalet Chazer Nishoy L'chaim is Chidushim al Masechet Psochim Lefi Seder Adapim. Psochim Daf Chov Dalet. Chazer Nishoy L'chaim Simen Kuv Chov Dalet. He doesn't say it explicitly, but I think if you look for it, you'll find it. He has such a tzad, and to me, that's a very big tzad. My interpretation of the Isra of Gid Anosha would be this. I think the assumption that it does have somewhat of a taste, but it's a tam kolish, is a davar rochik. Why would we say so? Especially if we do find the Loshon and the Gemara Eitzu v'Toyra Asasik. So the Achronim ask a question. How could there be a machlokes yesh begidden benois and tam or ain begidden benois and tam? Why don't we check it out and finally decide? I don't think that's a powerful argument. There are so many sveikas in the world, in every field. Yes or no? Why don't you check it out? We did check it out, but the mumchim have two different opinions and we don't know. There's a similar Gemara in Masechet Chalad of Beis Omid Beis in Yerushalmi. Chloikis in Yerushalmi whether karamit is machmitz or not machmitz. Probably it's some type of grain. I don't know whether in modern Hebrew there is such a thing as karamit. Kufresh mem yutof. I don't know. But in Yerushalmi there's a machloikis whether it's machmitz or not machmitz. And the nafkamen is legabe chiyuv chalad and legabe mitzvah smitz. So the Gemara asks specifically that question, v'livdike. So why don't we check it out? And the Gemara responds, al ikar bedikoson hen choylkim. Of course we checked it out. And the machlokes is regarding the results. What were the results? So obviously, some strange kind of chimutz. And the chachamim, the mumchim, couldn't decide, is that chimutz or not? So we checked out the tam of gid, and the results were, how do you say in scientific language? They were not conclusive. The results weren't conclusive. Some said yes, some said no, sometimes yes, sometimes no. So the results were conclusive. So I don't think that's a powerful argument. Why don't we check it out? We checked it out, val ikr bedikos on chokam, and the results aren't conclusive. So on one hand, ein begidin benoisin tam. And the Gemara also says, Eitzu v'toyra asusa. Argument number two, Gzeira Sakosev. But the Torah says Aloshan Achila. And Chazal do say, Vizishteit Achila, it means Kederech Achila. So if it would be an exception, it would be like Bosa Becholov, like Kiliya Kerem, the Torah wouldn't say Aloshan Achila. Am Kain lo yoichlu b'nei soras gidanosha. So I really feel that the most convincing argument would be the Chiddush of Gidanosha is in the Cheftz. Even though it's eitz, it has no taste. So Menasvora, we would say, it's like a tzomos. The hard bones of an animal are not osa b'achila, because they're not ra'ui l'achila, they're not defined as food. The horns of an animal are not osa, because horns aren't food. They aren't fitting for consumption. So the same would apply to gid. So the gzeis hakosav is that it's a chefza de yisura. But there is no necessity to argue that he is chayv afilu she'ochle shelo kederech achila. And therefore my feeling would be, shelo kederech achila zmuter, even by gid hanoshem. Which would seem to be somewhat of a chiddush, but I do think that is the more reasonable approach. And maybe we would say the same regarding Eitzim Velavoinish of Kodshim and Sa'or of Chometz and Chometz Noish. Tiknoi B'Tavlinim. So when there is a deficiency in the Cheftze, Tiknoi B'Tavlinim wouldn't work. That is the Chavis Das B'Nevele She'ein Eriyo Leger Lav Shmo Nevele. So even if Tiknoi B'Tavlinim, there's still no issue. However, that's the Gzeres HaKosav of Gidanosh. But still, Ochloi Shalom Kederach Achila would not be Chayiv. Now, the Rambam in Perik Yud Aleph Halachas Macholos Asur is Haloch Yud Aleph. The Rambam, could I have Rambam only if it's not much of a Terech? We should have some little Rambam somewhere up here. I don't mean a little Rambam, I mean a small one. The Rambam is huge, he's not little. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Aleph of Hilchos Macholos Asuros writes, if a person ate nevela she'eina ra'uya la'achila, or himchas achela v'gam hachat agroin enech v'esei menoi, irav v'idov amar, ochol chelav chai, poto. So the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph and Hilchos Macholos Asuros, to the best of my memory, Halacha Yud Aleph, brings all the four into the same halacha. And he includes Nevele She'ine Ru'uya Leger together with Shelo Kederech Achila. And I'm reading the Loshon of the Rambam. Kol ha'ochel asur einu chayav aleihem ad she'yochel loisam derech hanoa, chutz mabosa v'chola v'kila yakerem. Those are the two exceptions that I mentioned before. Lefi shelo nemar bohen achila, elo hoitzi iser achilosei b'loshon acheres, b'loshon bishul u'b'loshon hegdosh, leser oisun v'afilu shelo kederech hanoa. But all the others, einu chayav aleihem, elu emochlon kederech hanoa san keitzad. הרי שאם חסך חלב וגמוי כשהוא חם עד שניח וגרוינו ממנו או שאוכל חלב חי או שעירב דבורים אמורים כגון ראש ולנו לתוך יין עסך או לתוך כדר שנווה לביוכלון כשאין מורים או שאוכל אוכל אוסר אחר שסריח והיביש ובוטול מאוכל אדם הרי זה פוטול. So the Rambam includes נווה לשאין ראו לי לגר או שאוכל Oichel also, achar she'esriach ve'hivish ve'botel mi'oichel odom, together with shalok ha'derech achile. Does that prove that they are the same gather and the same din? Lo kedivrei achavis das? I don't think so. Wasn't it a week ago that I quoted the Radbaz? How much chachma we see in the Seder of the Rambam, not only in the content of the halachas, but also in the Seder? Yes, but this is another example. They have something in common. So they're not exactly the same, but they have something in common. So it should be no wonder that the Rambam puts them together. Something that most Lamdim don't know, and a lot of Svorim and Rashivis are Medayik, so why is it in the same halacha of the Rambam and in two different halachas of the Rambam? The Rambam didn't split. He didn't write the halachas, only the Prokhman. Halacha Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel is not from the Rambam. That is from later generations, just to make it more user-friendly. So that is never a diuk. Why is it in the same halacha? Well, obviously it's in the same perek, could be in the same context, but the halachas were not written by the Rambam. That came in later generations. So this is, I think the Chavos Das definitely is right. These are shnei dinim. Because shelo kederech achila, it's not based on gzeis hakosef. When Rabbi Yochanan says, kol asurin shebetoyra, ein yuchayv alein, ele imochlan kederech achila osan, that's not gzeis hakosef. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't base that on a posef. He says it misvor. Because achila is all about deriving pleasure. Cheich oichel yitam. So if each shelo kederech achila, it's just like kelachayad b'shas. Just like shelo kederech malacha. There's no gezeres akosef to pater kalachayad b'shas. Well, in a way, it's not malachas machsheves. But shelo kederech achila is a svora. It is not defined achila. But nevela she'ein eruli ger is a posuk. Two different sugyas. One is psukhim chovdanad, one is avodah zarah samaches. Shelo kederech achila is not based on a drosha. But nevela she'ein eruli ger is based on the posuk. Leger asher b'shorecho titnenoi va'ochel. Nevela she'ruli leger shema nevela. Nevela she'ein eruli ger asher nevela. So it's not only the lashon of the Gemara. It is also the context. So I definitely think these are two different halachas. One is a din of the chefze, the other is a din of the gaver and the maisa achila. So when avel is no longer ra'uy leger, hisriach vehivish kelshon Rambam, tiknoi bitavlinim wouldn't be awesome. It's just like taking wood and tiknoi bitavlinim. However, when we're dealing with a ptur of shalok derech achila, if it's once again derech achila, it would be awesome. So another important comment is, I wrote a few times in my svarim a very basic observation, a very basic definition, hagdora, which I think many achronim didn't realize. Ein odam chayev b'macholas asurois, elo im yitmalu shlosha tanaim. Three conditions. Hanoas achila, derech achila, Maisa. If any of the three is lacking, there is no Issa. What do I mean, Maisa Achila? In the modern world, we could nourish people in many different ways without really having them eat. We could use intravenous, IV. And that is supplying vitamins and minerals directly into the blood system. Entirely excluding or avoiding the digestive system. We can deposit food into a person's stomach, which means, help me with finding the words, which means the feeding tube into a stomach, which would be avoiding the not the digestive system, it would be taking advantage of the digestive system, but his mouth and his throat. And sometimes that has to be done. When a person has an injury, a mouth injury.
His taste buds.
Or he has a throat injury, or he had surgery in his throat. So we deposit food directly into his stomach. In both those cases, there would be no issur of macholas asuris, because there is no maisa achila. Maisa achila is putting food into your mouth and swallowing it into your stomach. So when there is no maisa achila, there would be no issur whatsoever. Also no mitzvah achila. A few years ago, there was a crazy story in one of the hospitals in Yerushalayim. If it wouldn't end with an almost tragedy, it would be hilarious. There was a choshev rebbe hospitalized Pesach in the hospital. And suddenly all the machines started buzzing and the doctors and the nurses rushed to his bedside till somebody found out what it was. So he had an IV line going into his system, and one of his chassidim put kemach matzah into it because he couldn't eat. So they wanted him to have matzah, so they put it into the his intravenous system, and everything got clogged up and plugged up. And so that was a great idea, but would he be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah? No. They almost killed him, and that's maybe an extreme manifestation of mesiras nefesh for a mitzvah. But when there is a lack of maisa achila, there would be no mitzvah achila on one hand and no iser on the other hand. And that is the same whether you nourish a person directly to his blood system or into his stomach. Because without a maisa achila, taking food into his mouth and swallowing it with a clay habliya, there would be no iser. Point number two is anoas achila. The Rambam writes a big chiddush in Lo Ta'aseh Kuf Pei Zayin. Lo Ta'aseh Kuf Pei Zayin is the Isser of Bosa B'Cholo. So the Rambam writes, in my list of Taryag, I dedicate only two slots for Bosa B'Cholo. One, Achila V'Hanoah together, and the other is Isser Bishu. Why don't I dedicate three slots? The Torah says three times, Lo Yisav Asik Diba Chalei Bimoy. Echad is a Ichila, Echad is a Noah, Echad is a Bishop. So the Rambam explains. Isser Achila and Isser Noah are the same. They are not two different lavas. Some Acholos Asuris are also Bachila Belvad. Others are also Bahanoah as well. But when the Torah answers Bahanoah, it's not two different Asurim, one Achila and one Anoah. Some acholas asuris are osur only in one form of anoah. That's anoah achila. Others are osur in all forms of anoah. One of the asur anoah is anoah achila, but it is not two different concepts: achila lachod and anoah lachod. What the Rambam comes to teach us: the Torah doesn't asur ma'isa achila. The Torah asurs anoah achila. So when those isurim that the Torah assured all Hanoas, and those include Bosa B'Cholov, Chometz B'Pesach, Orle, Kilei HaKerem, which are the Mecholas Asuris that are also Achila B'Levad, Hanevela, Hatreife, Haminim, Hatameim, Hachelev, Vahadam, which are also Achila Metuba Hanoa, but even by those, the Torah assured Hanoas Achila. What is Hanoas Achila? Not the joy of the good taste, no. Hagoshes hasvia. Because the basic reason why human beings eat is because they're hungry. Like the pasuk says, tzadik oichel lesoy benafshay. They usually won't eat what they don't like because they are repulsed by some foods. But the basic benefit of eating is nourishment and to satire your hunger. So anoas achila is hargoshes hasvia. It is not the taste. The taste is derech achila. By which lav does the Rambam explain the concept of anoas achila? Bosa b'cholav. Bosa b'cholav is also lafelu shalok derech achila. So isn't that a contradiction? And the Rambam says the Isra is Hanoa Sachila. No contradiction whatsoever. Hanoa Sachila is the satisfaction of satisfying your hunger. So these are three different concepts. Mai Sachila, Hanoa Sachila, Derech Achila. And a person is chayav only when the three of them come together.
What does Hanoa's Grama fit in?
Hanoa Sachila. And that's why Chazal say, Hanoa's Groinoi. Most of your taste buds are not in your throat. They're in your mouth. That is why Chazal say Hanoa's Groinoi. Because your hunger is satisfied by swallowing the food. And that is the Machloikis Ebirchem and Shlokish and Churin Dav Kuv Gen, whether it's Hanoa's Groinoi or Hanoa's Mayav. And these are three different levels and three different concepts. So the discussion today, we had an in-depth discussion of many concepts of Machoras Asurais and focusing especially on Gidei Noshe, which on one hand the Torah says Eitzu V'Ator. So we commented on the beginning of this year. Al kain lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael es gid anosha ad hayoyim hazeh. What does the Torah emphasize? Why is gid anosha a prohibition? Obviously it has to do with the story of Yaakov Avinu and his struggle with the angel. It is the only of the many Macholos Asuras in which the Torah explains why would that be a prohibition? Why can't we eat kol amina matmeim and avela and treife and chelev and dam? Why? Because the Torah prohibited. But there is only one and only of the Macholos Asuras which is a zecher. All the others aren't a zecher to something that happened in the distant past. It is only Gid Anosha. So I do not recall whether I ever told you about this fascinating Zayam, and it also appears in Kizbeh Ha'ari. So we all are familiar with the magic number of Taryag. And Taryag are divided into very clear and distinct categories. Ramach Mitzvah Sasei and Shin Samachei Lavin. Shesol Lavin, Ramach Mitzvah Sasei Keneged Ma. So we find in the Gemara at the end of Masechet Makos and also in Midrash Chazal, Shesol Lavin are keneged Yemois Hashana. That's Shin Samachei. And Ramach Mitzvah Sasei are keneged Ramach Eivorim. We don't have a list which mitzvah is keneged which day, or which mitzvah says can I get which Ava. But it does seem to be clear in the Kisvei Ari and Zohar that it is not only 365 against 365 and 248 against 248. It's more specific. But the Zohar does teach us, and we find the same in Kisvei Ari, at least one day coincides with one specific mitzvah. Which day and which mitzvah? Tisha B'Av is keneged Gid Hanosha. And we wonder why. What does Tisha B'Av have to do with Gid Hanosha? So we need to come back with the struggle of this week's parsha between Yankev and Sorei Shalaisel. What was it about? So it wasn't a struggle between a given angel and a given human being. It was a struggle about Yaakov and Esav, the good and the bad, the evil and the pure. It was a struggle about Yisroel v'Om Yisroel. It was a fight that started off even before Yaakov and Esav were born. V'Yisroel tzitzu abonim b'kirba. And those are not only two children of Rivka. They are two symbols. They are the forces of good and evil, of Toiv and Ra, And that struggle is forever. It is for eternity. It is till the end of days. So when Yaakov meets Esav in this week's parsha, and with tremendous siyata d'shmaya, passes, it's a peaceful encounter. And Yaakov apologizes, you know, I move slowly. Ad avoy el adoni si'iro. They never met again. And that is va'olu mashiyam bahar tzion lishpat asar Esav. At the end of days, we will once again meet. So that struggle is not about individuals, an individual malach fighting an individual person. And as Chazal make it clear in the Ramban, his Perush al HaTorah, Noga b'tzadikim shebekol dor v'dor. V'yiga b'kaf yarechoy, Noga b'tzadikim shebekol dor v'dor. And that struggle is to kiss a covered. V'ya'avek, the Gemara says, Zechun and Tzadik Beis, Helu avok ad kisei HaKavod. And my feeling is, that's my interpretation. What does it have to do with kisei HaKavod? Kisei HaKavod is the Merkava that Yecheskel HaNovi tells us about. And if there are Dalet Ponim b'Merkava, Pnei Odom, Pnei Nesha, Pnei Shor, Pnei Kruv, Pnei Adam is the face of Yaakov Uvinu. Why Yaakov? Because Yaakov is Yisrael. Yisrael is the name of the nation, and it is the name of Yaakov. So I don't know whether Yaakov was named in the name of the people or the people were named after Yaakov. But it's the same. And the Zohar explains that Yisrael incorporates, it has five letters. The first letter of Shloisha Ovis and Dalet Nimois. It's all included in Yisrael. So the Yud is Yitzchak and Yaakov. The Shin is Soro. The Reish is Rochel and Rivko. The Aleph is Avram and the Lamed is Leah. Yisrael includes the first letter of Shloisha Ovis and Dalet Nimois. Because all the Nekoiches and all the Zgolas of the Ovis and the Amois all are in Yaakov. And it is from him, when Yaakov is called Yisroel, that all those kaifas go on to Yaakov's children and grandchildren and to Klal Yisroel. So when Sora Shalesa fights Yaakov, he is fighting Yisroel, and he's fighting Klal Yisroel till the end of the days. And Pnei Odom b'Merkava is Pnei Yaakov. So Sora Shalesa wants to be metashtish Pnei Yaakov shebe'Merkava. Because it is from there that we have our eternal power. We are forever, because the Pnei Yaakov, Pnei Yisrael, is in the Merkava of Kisei Kodesho Yisborach Shemoi. So that battle rages up to the Kisei HaKavod, and it rages till the end of the days. And that is the struggle between Yaakov and Sora Shalesov, Ve'yaveik Ish Emo. That was a hopeless struggle. How could a mortal fight an angel from above? He should be the most powerful person. How could a human being fight an angel? It was a lost battle. It was a hopeless struggle. But when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is with Yaakov, nothing is hopeless. By a Kodesh Baruch Hu, nothing is hopeless. Elokim is takef v'bal yacholes v'bal hakoyches kulom ein oid melavad. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, when he explains the mitzvah gimel, the mitzvah of Gidanosha, why is it so important that we remember that struggle in every generation? Because whenever we will fall into despair and yush, and things will seem to be so hopeless, we should remember the struggle of Yaakov and Sora Shalesov. That was a hopeless struggle. But Yaakov prevailed. Not only did he prevail, he was victorious. Yes, the angel hurt him, and he limped away from that struggle, but he won. He was victorious. And he overcame. and he prevailed. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, we should remember that in every generation. Because along the way, in our long and tormented galus, many a time we will feel it's hopeless. We have no chance. And it is in those days of despair that we need to remember the struggle of Yaakov and Tzur HaShemesa. Yaakov also thought he's lost. How could he fight an angel? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us. Because Yaakov is us, and we are Yaakov. And Yaakov's struggle is our struggle. He fought for us. So we should never despair. And we should never lose hope. And whenever things seem to be lost and hopeless, we should remember the story of Yaakov and Tzur HaShemesa. And that is what the mitzvah of Gidei Moshe is all about. So obviously the Chinuch doesn't quote the Ari. Neither does he ever quote the Zohar. But it's so poshut. That is why Gidei Moshe is associated with Tisha B'av. Because that is the most awful and tormented of days. That is the day which symbolizes for us the depths of despair and torture and suffering and hopelessness. That is the day in which we lost one Beis HaMikdash and another Beis HaMikdash and so much bloodshed throughout the day, throughout the ages. And that is why on Tisha B'av more than any other time, we should remember the mitzvah of Gidei Moshe. We should remember the struggle of Yaakov and Esav. And I think that is why it is the only one of the Machoras Asuras that is a Zeicher. Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael as Gidei Moshe ad hayoyim hazeh, till the end of days. So the Sefer HaChinuch is an amazing Sefer, a magnificent Sefer, but it's not a Sefer of Tfilis. You know, we have the Tzene Rene, we have some Shari Tzion, there are some form of Tfilis, not the Sefer HaChinuch. But it is only one mitzvah in which the Sefer HaChinuch writes a Tfilah, and that is in the mitzvah of Gidei Moshe, in mitzvah Gimel. And the Sefer HaChinuch, after explaining the Shoresh mitzvah, when we will remember the struggle of Yaakov and Tzur HaShemesa, Lo oilom yamdu yisor bitumosom ubeemunosom. And we should remember, Kishem shezorcho shemesh la'av. The pasuk says, Vayizrech lo hashemesh. Kishem shezorcho shemesh la'av, lo hoishiyoy men hatzar v'men hayesurim. Kein tizrach lonu shemesh, shimshoy shel moshiach tzedkenu, lo hoishiyenu men hatzar v'men hayesurim b'maher v'yom. That is how the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Gimel. So let's end this shir in that same note. Kishem shezorcho shemesh la'av lo yishiyo imen atzar umen yesurim. We should be zorcho. That Kodesh Boruch Hu should be mezriach lano shemesh shel Moshiach tzedkeinu b'mheiru v'yameinu amen. And we should be zorcho to Yeshua Yisrael and be as Moshiach tzedkeinu b'mheiru v'yameinu amen.